Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yuma Daf Pei. We are at the last few words of Ayin Tes Amud Beis. Tanya Rebbe Omer, Kol HaShi'urin Kulan Bekazayis, says Rashi on the top line, Kol HaShi'urin Ha'amurin Bo'ichlin. Generally, Shi'urin associated with food items in the Torah are based on a Kazayis equivalent, Kazayis of Chelev Azasar, Kazayis of Chametz, except Chutz Mitumas Oichlin. When we speak about Tumas Oichlin, it's not a Kazayis equivalent, rather it's based on a Kabeitza, an egg equivalent. Now what is Tumas Oichlin? Rashi elsewhere explains, in order for food to be Mekabel, to receive Tuma onto itself, you don't need a Shir Kabeitza, even a small amount of Mashu is sufficient for that purpose. But in order for food to transmit Tuma to others, to another Mashka, etc., that food must have a Shir Kabeitza. According to other Rishonim, even for Eichel to be Mekabel Tumah onto itself, it needs to be a Shir Kabeitz. So either way, Shir Tumas Eichlin is based on a Kabeitz rather than a Kazayis. Why? Says the Gemara. Sheshina Kasev Mashmon. Take a look at the Psukim discussing Tumas Eichlin. We find a difference in language. We find some sort of deviation, different than the norm. Vishinu Chachamim Mishurim, which generates a different shear. Based on a difference in language, Chacham decided, they determined, the Torah must be speaking about a different shear. So rather than Kazayis, it's based on a Kibetza equivalent. V'rayi L'davar Yom Kippurim. We have a precedent, a Rai from Yom Kippur, where there was a Shina in Lashon, which generated a different type of shear. My Shina HaKosav B'mashmoy. In which way do we see that the Torah switched the terminology from the norm, miloy se'una. Rather than Torah saying, one who eats on Yom Kippur gets karas, Torah says, if one didn't engage in inui by eating, but the point is, he dispelled inui, that's what generates karas. So that's different than typical. And what follows is that the Chachamim determined a different shir achilah for Yom Kippur, as we learned yesterday. Umay shinu chacham b'shiuri. In which way do we see the chacham switch the shir on Yom Kippur from the typical kakesebis, rather than working with a kazayis, which is considered a shir achila? Here, it was determined to be a kesebis, which brings yishev adas, which negates inui, as we discussed yesterday. Says the Gemara, umay rai ladavi Yom Kippurim. Why go to Yom Kippur to look for a raya? A shinui in Lashon generates a different type of shiur. Look over here, by Tumas Eichlin itself. The fact that the Torah was Mishana the Lashon, as we're going to see soon, the Torah uses a poetic term, Kala Eichel Asher Yachel, different than typical, then itself is sufficient grounds to establish a different type of shiur than the norm. Why are you looking for a raya from Yom Kippur? And in what way does Yom Kippur provide that raya and that precedent? So you see that there's a difference in Lashon there, which generates a difference in Shir. Here as well, you've done the same thing. A difference in Lashon apparently generated a different type of Shir. Answers the Gemara, Dima Hasam Havamina. If only from the Pasuk by Tumas Eichlin, Kol Eichel Asher Yachel, well, I would say, Urcha Dekro, not just the manner of speech, the Torah does sometimes employ poetic terms. Rashi says, nearby we have another term, mashka asher yishasa, mashka which will be drunk. So we find the Torah sometimes uses poetic language. So perhaps the pasuk eichel asher yachal is no different. The Torah is referring to your typical share of a kazayis. It's not really considered a deviation. And the answer is no. Take a look at Yom Kippur, who we do find that based on that slightly different Lashon HaPasuk, what follows the Chachamim determined, the Torah must be referring to a different type of Shir. So we see indeed that a slight change in the Lashon HaPasuk generates a different type of Shir. Therefore over here as well, Chacham determined it's a shir kibetzah rather than kazais. So indeed, what is the lashon by tumas oichlan, which brought about that change? It says the Gemara, tumas oichlan kibetzah menol. Indeed, how do we know that it's a kibetzah? Well, what's the pasuk? What's the deviation that you were referring to? Omer vo, omer belazer, damakra, mikol oichla shay ochel. And that has tumas oichel. Oichel asher yoichel. We have a drasha. Oichel haba machmas oichel. A food item which comes from another food item, meaning food produced by another food. That's what the Torah is describing. Ve'eza, and what exactly is this? Zebetas tamnugailus. An egg laid by a hen, by a chicken. It's a food produced by another food. So we see from here that only food which has a sheer kibetza has a potential to be matama tumas oichlan. Ve'emegdi, perhaps a goat. It's also food from a food. Until you have a goat equivalent of food, you don't have tumas oichlan. It says, Gemara Mechusa Shechita, that's not called a food from a food, because the goat and his mother needs to be shechted to be eaten. But prior to Shechita, at the time of birth, it's not mutar b'achila. It cannot be related to as an oichel. Ve'eva ben pekua, okay, not your typical goat, but maybe a goat found inside the mother. That's called a ben pekua. It's called pekua because of bikua. The mother's stomach is breached open. You find this offspring inside, and the halacha is that if the mother is shechted and you find the ben pekua inside, it's mutar b'achila. So here we have an oichel from another oichel, and quite large in size. So perhaps until you have a ben pekua equivalent of food, it's not matama tumas oichel. Ton kriya, says the Gemara. You can't just eat that ben pekua outright. You have to tear it open, take out its dam. It's not yet considered suitable for achila. It cannot be related to as an oichel. It takes us back to the Beitas Tanagos, which indeed is an oichel coming from another oichel. Perhaps you're speaking that the mother was shechted and you found the fully developed egg inside. So you have an oichel from another oichel. And apparently that provides the shear for Tumas Oichel. Says the Gemara, you're looking for an egg? Let's use a large size egg. Ve'ema Beitas Bar Yuchne. Bar Yuchne is an ostrich, which lays rather large-sized eggs. So perhaps that's the egg the Torah is speaking about. Until you have that amount of food, you won't be metama tumas oichlan. No, tafasta meruba like tafasta. You have no right to grab onto the large shear. Tafasta mua tafasta. If you grabbed onto the small shear, then you know you have it right. Meaning, you can't go higher unless you know with certainty the Torah meant that. So basically, you can't go lakula here. You can't say, well, until I have a shir oichel, the equivalent of a beitzas bar yuchni, I won't be tummy. But the Torah simply speaks in general terms. And it's not really, it's not a defined term, so you have to pick the smallest shir. You have to be machmer. A food from a food, speaking about a beitzas tarnagoilis, which is rather small relative to the ostrich's egg, and that shir oichel is makabotum. Says him, okay, you're looking for a small size egg, ve'ema bi'asa, maybe the egg of a ditziporta, of a bird, dizertotuv, which is very small. In which case, you're going to be machmer and say, well, even oichel, which is equivalent to a small sized bird egg, is sufficient for kabbalah's tuma. It conforms to the description of the Torah. It's oichel haba machmas oichel. So how do you know that a kibbeta is required? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Avo didei Amar. So indeed, Rabbi Avo turned around and he says, I'll tell you pshat in the pasuk. Until now, it was a quote from Velazar. We had a kash on that. Says Rabbi Avo, I'll provide another pshat, and this pshat will remain. The pasuk says, Mikolo eichel asher yachal. Right? We learn like this. Oichel shata oichel vas achas. Oichel means the amount of food that could be eaten at once, in one swallow. How much is that? V'shiru chacham. Chacham estimated, ein beis ha-bliyo machzik, yoyser beis ha-sanagoylis. One's throat cannot contain more than an egg. An egg from a tanagoylis. That's what the pasuk means. What is makabel tuma oichel asher yeochel, meaning bevas achas? The amount of food that can be swallowed at once was the shir kibetz. You know, there's a noida Yehuda who suggested that the eggs shrunk. Today's eggs are only half the size of the old time eggs. Some bring a right from this gemara that apparently it's the same. It's consistent throughout history because, if we'll say today's eggs are half the size of the ancient eggs, then based on this gemara, you can have two of today's eggs being swallowed at once, and it doesn't work. We see that a person cannot swallow more than one egg at a time, more than one of today's egg at a time. Apparently, the eggs remain the same size. That's an argument presented against the shita of the Noda Yehuda. So in any case, we've determined that shear of Tumas Eichon is a kibetza, rather than your typical kazais associated with food. Whereas the Rai, or Vot, tells us, Eichla Shia Ochel means the amount of food that could be swallowed at once. Amar Belazar, Ha'eichla Chelev B'zman Hazeh. If one should eat Chelev, B'shoigig, B'zman Hazeh, when there's no Beis HaMikdash. And he figures, well, it was less than a kibetza, less than a kazais, anach chayiv, kar machatas. No, Tzorech She'yichtev Le'shir. He shouldn't just ignore what happened. He should take out a ledger and record how much he ate. 50 grams of chilev. Why? Shema yovei bezdin acher. Perhaps Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt in his days. A new bezdin will be established and they'll determine v'yaber b'shiurin. They'll be marba the shiurin, which at this point in the Gemara means they're going to say that what he ate, that amount does constitute a kazayis. Right? Contrary to what he thought, that the amount of chelev that he ate was less than a kazayis. No, they'll say, well, this is a kazayis, in which case he'll be obligated to bring a carbon. So therefore, record the amount for future reference. My yarbe b'shiur. What does this mean? That they'll come along and they'll be marba and they'll obligate him to bring a carbon. Do we mean that they'll obligate him to bring a carbon even upon eating a small kazayis? They'll consider that to be shir, which necessitates a carbon. In that case, he wouldn't be bringing a carbon in any case. Why? Vatanya, the Braisa says, if one committed a sin b'shoigig, something which should not have been done, he brings a carbon. We learn from here. A carbon is only brought when a person would have withheld, had he known that this is a problem, that this is chelev. He would have kept back. He would have held off if he would have been aware of the fact that it's chelev. Hashav midi asa. If one holds back due to his awareness, maybe carbon al shagigasa, and then he'll bring a carbon if it was done inadvertently, without awareness. But in a case where he wouldn't have held back in any case, because he knows this is less than a shear. In his mind, he's not committing an isser. Lo yishav midiyasa. But in a case where, if he would have had a yediya, if he would have known full well this is chelev, he wouldn't have hesitated to eat it. Lo yishav midiyasa. In that case, even if he ate a b'shagig, he doesn't bring a carbon. Ain't maybe carbon on shigigasai. So this fellow, who ate a small piece of chelev, b'shoigig, how could you be mechayven to bring a carbon if the bezin determines that he ate a shear? Well, at that point in time, he considered it less than a shear. So true, he ate a b'shoigig, he wasn't aware that it's chelev, but let's say, theoretically, even if he would have known it's chelev, he wouldn't have hesitated. He would not have considered this to be a chet that brings a chatos. Right? Maybe chatzishir asam ratur, but he wouldn't have treated it with the same degree of severity as a chet that brings chatos, he wouldn't have refrained from this chelev because of the chatos potential, because it's a thing that has chorus, because his mind is less than a shear. In that case, even if it was b'shoigig, he wouldn't bring a carbon. Certainly, Bezdin later on can't be mechayivim a carbon for doing that. Ella says, the more you write, Rabbi Lezer meant something else. What happened was, this fellow ate a certain amount of chelev, thinking, right, didn't realize that it was chelev. Afterwards, when he realized what he did, he's thinking to himself, well, this is a sheer kazayis. 50 gram, that's enough for a kazayis. I have to bring a carbon. Rabbi Lezer tells you, not just to record in your ledger, I have to bring a carbon. Explain yourself. Itemize it. Describe it in detail. I ate 50 gram of chelev. Why? Because perhaps on Bezdin will be reestablished. They're going to say, no. That amount is less than a required amount for carbon. That's less than a kazayis. Ela deloy mechayvi carbon ad ikka kazayis gadol. They're going to teach that a kazayis gadol requires a carbon, but not your kazayis. So that's why you meant to record it, not in terms of I'm chayiv a carbon, rather detail it, right? 50 grams, which can be determined later. I'll be bezin whether or not is a chayiv carbon. They might actually exempt you from carbon. They'll consider it too little. That's Rishon Rabbi Lezer. Ask the Gemara, O my desalka daita mikar, the way we initially figured, the machayiv carbon akazayis katan. Speaking about a fellow who thinks that he ate less than the required amount. And Rabbi Lezer tells him, record the exact amount, because perhaps Bezin will consider that sufficient for carbon. They're going to be machayev carbon even on a small size kazayis. That's what we figured initially, right? My yarba b'shiurin. How do you explain Rabbi Lezer's words? Write it, because the Bezin will come along and we marba b'shiurin. They're not being marba this year. They're not increasing the size of kazayis. Just the opposite. They're saying that even a small size kazayis is considered halachically like an average kazayis and it's chayiv carbon. What do you mean yarba b'shiur is going to increase the shear? Actually, it's going to lower the threshold, decrease the shear, and the required amount of chelev that is mechayiv carbon. So how do we understand the havamina? Shema yarba b'karbonis machmas shiur. What he meant, according to the havamina, was yarba means they're going to increase karbonis machmas shiur because of their small size shear. By lowering the threshold, they're actually generating more karbonis. But in any case, the Gemara reverted from that. That's not what Rabbi Lezer meant. He meant the other way around. He thinks he's chayv karbon because this is a sufficient amount. Just write down the amount, because Bezin might downgrade, might consider that to be too little for chayiv carbon and exempt you from carbon. Or Rabbi Yechanan, shiurin v'inshin halach l'mesh mesinai. Shiurin that are found throughout the Torah, because Isaf chelev brings chorus, etc., and the inshin, various punishments applied to various averis, are halach l'mesh mesinai, received directly from Moshe from Sinai. As part of the Torah Shabbat Peh. Oinshin Mechtav Ksivi. Punishments. They're all listed in the Torah. Open up any parasha, you find punishments clearly listed in the Torah. That wasn't Halacha Moshe Mesinai. Elochika Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan meant like this. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Shiurim Shel Oinshin. Halacha Moshe Mesinai. The Shiurim which generate Oinshin in the Torah. How much Chelav generates Chatos or Koros? How much chametz generates einish? The shiurin, which produced those einshin, were brought down by Moshe from Sinai. Tanya mihachi, where Bryce in support of this, shiurin shel einshin halachal Moshe from Sinai. That's a Tanakama. Achirim oimrim beis dinay shel yavetz tiknum. The bezin of yavetz, who was a snail ben knaz, they established the shiurin. How can they do that? Voksiv elah mitzvahs. Pasuk says, these are the mitzvahs taught by Moshe, the name of Hashem, and we learn from here. It's a done deal. It's a package. Shein Navi Rashai Lechadish Davar Me'ata. Going forward, Navi cannot introduce new concepts, new mitzvahs. All the mitzvahs were handed down by Moshe Rabbeinu. Sure, throughout the Duras, there's something called Torah Shabbat Peh. Let's say there's something that's unclear, or some new situation that arises. Chacham had the power, through the Yud Gimel Midas, to create Hekesh, Binyan Av, Gzeirah Shavah, and expound on the Torah. That was called Torah Shabbat Peh, but to introduce a new concept, new mitzvah, such as over here, introducing the concept of Shi'urin throughout the Torah, that cannot be done through a Navi. That cannot be done past Moshe Rabbeinu's lifetime. See, Moshe Rabbeinu, during his lifetime, was considered a continuous Kabbalah Satur. Hashem was continuously transmitting Torah through Moshe Rabbeinu during his lifetime. But after his passing, you can't go ahead and introduce a new mitzvah. Even a Navi can't do that. So how can we say Asnil Ben Knaz introduced Shi'urim to the world? Ela Shachachum. Rather, it was actually taught, but it was forgotten. Gemara Tumura tells us during the Yimei Evle Shel Moshe Rabbeinu, when he passed away, Klal Yisrael were in mourning, and the yeshivas were closed, not in session. They forgot many halachas. During that time, they weren't reviewing, they weren't learning, they forgot many halachas. 3,000 halachas were actually forgotten. V'chozu v'yistam, and Asnil Ben Knaz, and his bezdin, reinstated those halachas. Gemara says, Bil Pilpulei, those power of pilpul and learning, He uncovered and reinstated those halachas. So the Brisker Rav says, the Nafka Mina is, according to the Tanakhama, the Shiurim of Einshin we have today were directly received. It was an uninterrupted tradition from Moshe Rabbeinu. Then there can't be any machlekes on that. There's no machlekes on a clear halacha Mishina, as opposed to the other Shita of Achirim, who hold that initially it was given by Moshe, but then it was forgotten and reinstated. He says that's considered now like Torah Shabbat Peh. Perhaps another Bezdin could challenge this Bezdin. Well, you interpret it in this manner. You reinstated it in this manner, we hold. Of course, based on using the Yud Gimel Midas and the accepted formulas of Torah Shabbat Peh, we hold, we came up with a different conclusion, a different result as far as the Shiuri Torah. That's a Brisker Rav's pshat in the Nafka Mina, between the Machlekes, between Hakama and the Achirim, on how we know the Shiurim. In any case, Maskana of the Gemara is that, of course, Einshin are written in the Torah, Shiurim will accept that Halacha Mesh Mesim. Hashoysa Malay Lugmav. So the Shir Achila by Yom Kippur is a Kesevas Hagasa. As far as drinking, it's Malay Lugmav, which the Gemara assumes means a mouthful, a full mouthful. Omer B'dem Rashmo, Loi Malay Lugmav Mamish. We don't mean an actual mouthful. Elo kol she'ilu yisal kenel tzad echad. Rather, it means if you fill one side of your mouth, one cheekful, in which case it would appear, at least to the person standing on that side, as if his mouth is full. That's enough for Yom Kippur. That's miyashiv das. In fact, Tosis over here brings the same shiur applies to kiddush, to tasting kiddush. Mloy lugmav, and he says, interesting. There as well, it's totally in Yishev Hadas, like Yom Kippur, and that's enough for the Shir. Says the Gemara, how can you say that? Va'anan, tanan malay lugmav. Mishnah says malay lugmav, which indicates a full mouthful, not just a cheekful. Emokim malay lugmav, interpreted as meaning a cheekful. It appears like his mouth is full. Meisvei, we have a kashma b'raisa, where Shita's Beis Hillel is clearly a full mouthful. What is the share of Shtiyah and Kippur to generate Chiyah? We have four Shittas. B'shami Oimrim, Revius. A standard share for all people. A Revius Haluk. B'shami Oimrim, Meloi Lugmav, a mouthful. Rabbi Yehuda Oimrim, Shon Belezer, Kimeloi Lugmav. It appears like a mouthful, just a cheekful is enough. Rabbi Yehuda Ben Meseir Oimrim, Kedei Gmiya, a swallow. It's pretty clear that according to Beis Hillel, it's a mouthful. The Halacha follows Beis Hillel. Apparently our Mishnah is also speaking about the same shear, a mouthful, not just a cheekful. Miyadevim masnisen. Why is the Brisa better than the Mishnah? The same lashon is used in both cases. Vukimna, dokimna, kadei shira. And our Mishnah interpreted the word malay lugmav as kadei shira malay lugmav. It appears like a mouthful, but it's just a cheekful. Hachanami. Here's one, the Brisa. Let's interpret it as follows. Kedei Shira, when Basil say Mulugmavi means a shikful with a which appears like a mouthful. Yachi, Hainur Belezer. If Basila speaking about a cheekful, and Rulazar speaking about a cheekful, the same exact shita, why is the Brisa presenting them as different shitas? It could be now there's a difference, a slight difference in the shear. Meloy Lugmov Dachuk. According to Basil, you need a full cheekful, a plumpy cheekful. Whereas according to Rabbi Lezer, it's just Kim Meloy Lugmov, Dachuk. Barely a cheekful, just a bit less than Basil. Maskevler of Oisha. If Oisha has a kash, im kain, if that's true, that Basil, when they say Meloy Lugmov, are describing a cheekful. Now, Beishamai, hold the Revius. Revius is greater in size than a cheekful. So who is Machmer? Beisil. According to Beishamai, you're not chayv until you have a Revius. According to Beisil, Chiv arrives as soon as he gets to Meloy Lugmav. So Beishamai is Mekel. Beisil is Machmer, which is not your typical, right? In Cain, if that's the case, Havali Mikuli Beishamai, Umichomer Beisil. Here we have another example of halacha. That Beis Shammai is Mekel, Beis Hillel is Machmer, and why isn't this included on that list in Maseches Idyos, which gives us a comprehensive list of those deviant cases, those exceptions, where Beis Shammai is Machmer, Beis Hillel is Mekel. Svarim say Beis Shammai was a school of Midas HaAdin, Midas HaGvura. They were always leaning to Machmer. Beis Hillel was Midas HaChesed, generally leading to being Mekel. So if this is an exception, it should have been added to that list of Maseches Idyos. Amar Leim. So he responded, Ki Itchel. You know why it's not added on that list? Because when this Shiloh was posed in the Beis HaMedrash, which Shiloh? The opening words of the Brisa, Kama Yushta Be'echayiv. How much was the person drink on Yom Kippur to be Chayiv? It was presented regarding a giant. How much must he drink to be chayiv? Bishamah responded, a revius. A small amount is enough for chayiv. And Bishil responded, no, it's personal. The shiurim of Yom Kippur bring yishav adas. It's individualized. And it works with a cheekful. In which case, the havali Bishamah the chumr, in this case, Bishamah is machmer. The Revius is sufficient to be Mechayivim, but they still say, this giant needs a giant cheekful, which is way more than a Revius, in which case they're actually being Mekel. So since we find, at least in some cases, the application of this halacha provides a kula, according to Beisil, and a chumra to Beishamai, at least in some cases, by giants. So although typically, by your average person, it actually results in the opposite result. We have Beishamai, Lakula Mesil Chumra, but since by a giant, Bishama is the Machmer, Revius is enough, Mesil are the Mekel, you need a cheekful, so it doesn't belong on that list of Maseches Idyos. But we find halachas which are absolutely Bishama, Lakula Mesil Chumra. So in conclusion, we have four shiurim listed in the Brisa regarding Shtei Yom Kippur, Revius, a cheekful, barely a cheekful, or a swallow. Maskevler Rabbi Zera, he says, I have a kasha on this whole discussion. When it comes to the shear of Achil and Kippur, it's standard for all. A kesevas hagasa, equivalence of food, is chayv. When it comes to drinking, it's individualized. It's cheekful, going to Bishilo. What's the difference? Maishna Achila. When it comes to Achila, you say, kol chad b'chad b'kesevas. All follow the same standard formula. Same shear. Umaishna shtia. Why is shtia different? Kol chad v'chad b'didei. Every person works with his size. It's personal. It's individualized. Why that discrepancy? Omer le'Abaye, kimlu l'rabbanan. It was clear to the chachamim. Birkei kesevas. When it comes to food, eshir kesevas. The b'chachim yasvedaiti. This brings about a calming effect on the person, and that's considered interfering with inoy. And that's why the shir was established as such. It's not going to settle a person down. However, when it comes to drinking, that's up to the individual. His cheekful calms him down. B'dechavrei lo miyasvedaitai, but his friend's cheekful, which is less than his, won't have the same effect. You know, the Gemara elsewhere speaks about good advice imparted to a Talmud Chacham who has little to drink. It says the Gemara, drink in big gulps, because chamrim regroine mispo, we take big gulps, has a satiating effect. You see that sipping, says the Gemara, is not as effective as gulping, as far as quenching a person's thirst. So you see that drinking is different than eating. That's individualized, and if you want to bring Yishev Adas, you have to work with a person's mouth size, with his cheekfulness, that's considered a Shir for Yom Kippur. Different than food, which is more the filling effect, the actual act of eating. So that explains why Achila is B'Kosevus, standard for all people. Shtiyah is personal, a cheekful, based on each person. Maskev L'Rabbi Zeira, another kash. V'chala Olam Kula B'Kosevus, how can you compare? How can you equate everybody out there? So everybody works with the Kesevis. V'Oig Mel Chaboshan B'Kosevus? And a giant like Oig also works with the same shear? You're looking for something which is Meyashev Das. How could you say the same amount of food has the same effect on a giant as a midget? Amalei Abayi, once again, he responds, Kimlu l'rabon, yeah, it was clear to the rabon. B'hacha Meyashev Dait. A shear Kesevis brings about a calming effect. Botzer Meyashev Dait. Less than that, less than that, does not have the same effect. But you're right. To varying degrees. Miu, kuli almatuva. A standard, typical person, he derives a high level of Yishev Adas from a Shir Kesevis. Voig melech haboshan purta, a giant like Oig. On him, it'll have a very slight, minimal effect. But he will experience some form, some degree of Yishev Adas, nevertheless. That's enough to be mechayev. Third kashya, maskler b'zera. How can you equate all types of foods? You have rich, nutritious, filling foods, and you have low-quality foods, barely edible. How can you say the shear by both are the same? Boser shomen, rich, fatty meat, the kesevis, works with the shear kesevis. That's enough to bring Yishev Adas. For the love they give fun and the kesevis, and these palm branches, barely edible, barely filling, barely satiating, are based on the same shear. How can you say that? How can you say that Lolovig Fanim, a shear kesevis, has the same effect as Basar Shaman kesevis? Amalei Abaye, once again, Abaye responds, Kimlu Rabbanon, the Rabbanon knew with certainty, Tabacha Miyasvedaite, a shear kesevis brings Yishvadas, Batsu Machal Miyasvedaite, less than that does not bring Yishvadas. Miu, you're right, there is some sort of discrepancy. Basar Shaman Tuva, rich fatty meat, has a more profound impact on the eater. A greater level of Yishev Adas. Lovi Gifan and Purta, these palm branches, have a minimal effect on the person, but it generates some level of Yishev Adas nevertheless, and therefore he's Chayv and Yom Kippur. Maskev L'Rabba. Rabba will challenge using similar arguments. Kazayis B'chtei Achilas Pras. We know that if one eats a kazayis of chilef, and stretches out the eating experience, he's not chayv unless he ate the entire kazayis within the time frame of achilas pras. Pras means half of that loaf discussed in Maseches Eirvin, which contains 2 sudois worth of bread. So half a loaf is 1 suda. Some say it's 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 9 minutes, different shiur, different shittos. So whatever the Zman Suda is, if one eats that Kazayis of Chela within that Suda time frame, it's considered like one Maase, Achila Neschayiv. So Kazayis, when it comes to eating Kazayis, we work with a formula called Bechtei Achilas Pras. As long as it takes to eat a half a loaf, Zman Suda. So every part of that Kazayis combines. It's considered one eating experience in Neschayiv. Because Kesevis, Bechtei Achilas Pras. And likewise, when it comes to Kesevis and Kippur, which is a larger shear, you're going to also apply the same concepts? And the Tosefta actually says we do. As long as you ate the Kesevis within that time frame, within that Zman Suda, which is the same Zman applied to a Kazayit, which is a smaller amount, He is Chayiv in Yom Kippur. How could that be? You should give him, you should allow more time for the Kesevus in Yom Kippur. So if you ate a, what's any 15 minute frame, so about, let's say, it should be enough to be Machayiv him. Going the Kula for no reason. Let's go over to Rashi, who explains this. Three lines from the top. Kazayis Bechei Achilles Pras. Kimlon, we learn in Krisus, Bechol Oysen Yisurin Shishurin Kazayis. All the Kazayis based Yisurin, we learn as follows. Shem Shoha Ben Chilas Achilles Hashir. Legmar Achilosa. Yoysen Bechei Achilles Pras. Suppose he ate the Kazayis in crumbs, incrementally. Ein Mitzdarf. It doesn't combine as one. Ache Yoychel Kol Hashir. Betoich Kadei Shehiyas Su'uda. Unless he ate it within a Su'uda time frame. What is a Su'uda? V'hi achilas chatzi kikar. The time that it takes to eat half of that loaf. Which loaf? Sheshiyaru boyisa Erev. Which is applied to Erev. Shumazin beis Su'uda. It's because it's not chatzi beis manuga. Mishnah says half of that loaf is a shir, which will bring tuma if one goes into a house with a nega. Torah says, if you stay in a house with a nega long enough to have a meal, you begadim become tummy. So that's the achilas pras that we're speaking about. The time that it takes to have a meal. So if you completed the kezayis of chilev within that time frame, it's considered one simultaneous mas achila, and is chayiv. How can we say that the same shear applies to a larger amount of food? That should allow you more time. Kikosevus b'achilas pras bitzmiya. Yeyma kipurim sheshi achilasai b'kikosevus. Afu shi'uroi. K'tirif achilasai b'chilas pras. Vimsho yeshim mekan eim etzaref. You go past achilas pras, it's no longer etzaref. It doesn't connect. Upatr is patr. How can you say that? Well, kivin the shi'ur gadol. Since we're dealing with a larger amount of food, kikosevus is more than a kazayis. Boi shi'yitvei. Let's hear Vachilase. We should allow more time to have it. Vashta Kula, the Patule. But now, did you apply the same shear of Achilas Pras as you apply to a Kazayis, to a Kasevis, despite the fact that it's more food, you'd be Makel on the person. Because if he stretched beyond those 9 minutes, he's Potter. How could that be? Says the Gemara, Amrli Abaye. Abaye responds, similar to before. Kim lulu rabban, rabbanon knew definitively the b'hachi b'yasva dait. That in Yom Kippur as well, if he has that kesevus within a shiur suda, a time frame that he can have a meal, that is miyashiv dait. But fei miyachi, but if it stretches it beyond that, lo miyasva dait doesn't generate the shvadas and it's not chayiv. Maskev for the rava again, you say b'kesevus b'chilas pras. So he has to eat that whole entire kesevus within the Zman of a Suda. And Chatzi Pras, Bechechilas Pras, is Halacha. If a person eats a half a Pras, so a half of the Shir Suda mentioned earlier, Rashi says it's about 2 beits in worth, and it happens to be food which is tummy, the eater's goof becomes tummy, you can't have Truma. That's Halacha with Rabbanon, we're going to see soon in the Gemara. And how much time does he have to eat that food? Again, Achilas Pras. How can he say that? Because seves chtechilas pras. And chatzi pras, which is so much more than that, l'chere, we should allow him a longer stretch of time for that. No, chtechilas pras. We apply the same time frame. If it's eaten beyond achilas pras, it doesn't have an effect on him. How can he say that? Om le'rav papo hanach l'tumas kviyad lav de'raisi. This concept of tumas kviyad, that a person becomes tummy upon eating tummy food, is not a deiraisa concept. As she says, when a Torah food cannot be metame a person, it's Rabbanon. The Chacham applied a kula. He said, look, let's apply the standard formula, the Sheachilas Pras, to this case as well. Umi Omar Papa Hachi. Is that so? The Rekon to Rapapa. It's only the Rabbanon. Voksiv. Vloy titam vahem mit meisimbam. Don't get entangled with food which is tummy, which will make you tummy. V'omra papa mikan shetumas via deraisa. We see that oichlan tmeim make a person tummy in a Torah. It's a pasuk. V'drabbanon. It's only a drabbanon. V'kras machta ba'alma. This pasuk quoted is just a support for the drabbanon. But since it's a drabbanon, we allow ourselves to be makel and we give him a short time frame to complete that chatzi pras. Otherwise, he's tar. Let's go over to Rashi. Just a couple lines up. Hanach l'tumas kvid lav l'reis. Akhilu rabon abo. V'lo yisi tam b'hem. Gam e'achil ksev. Al tashak, sotan shesechem. Dain achila. Don't eat these foods which are tummy. V'lo yisi tam b'hem. Says Rashi, there's no issa to become tummy. Loi zuhi as oras tuma. There's not tummy, don't become tummy. Shara en yisrom is harm la tummy. There's no issa for yisrom to become tummy. Tachsiv emar al kehanim. Only kehanim have to keep Torah. Kehanim was harm and yisrom was harm. Rather, the pasuk is telling you, ela as horas achilosim. Tachsiv in it's meisama. Mashra shal de achilosim te tamu. Torah is simply telling you that keep away from tummy foods, because if you eat this, you become tummy and you can't eat truma. Mikano tumas kviya al de oichon tumem de raisa. My response notes from the rabban on the crawl of the tuma asa. The true kavon of the pasuk is not to tell you this concept of tuma. Shein lecha davar metami adam de achila el nevelos eftar. We find one case you eat an avail of eftar that makes you tummy, but otherwise food cannot be metami a person. Elas machta ba'amah. It's the rabban on the pasuk is just a hint, a support for this concept. It says Rashi v'ikur kro darshinan beperik amar lemamuna. The main intent and interpretation of this pasuk is, as we learned back in the Flamites, Adam metame asmer ma'at, metame no se harbe, if one allows himself to become tame, even a bit. When Hashemayim, they allow him, they open the doors for him to even sink lower down, so that's like the tamu, and it's mesem, two levels, 2 degrees of tumah. So in any case, it's the rabbonon, and therefore we allow ourselves a shir achilas pras, and otherwise, he's tar. So in conclusion, we had no less than 5 kashas on these halachas. We had Reb Zera. First kasha was, why the difference between the shir achila, which is a standard kesevas for all, whereas shtiyah is personal, cheekful, Abai responded, it's meant to generate yishuv hadas. Food works one way, shtiyah is personal, works differently. How can we equate everybody? Everybody has the same shir kesevas. Answer is again, shir kesevas provides yishuv hadas. And all depends on the person. Of course, typically it generates a great yishuv hadas, a yimach hamashon, to a minimal degree. Next kasha was, how can you be madama between all types of foods? Answer is the same. Food with a shir kesevis is miyashuv das. Of course, the better the food, the greater the effect. Rava's kasha was, how can kezayis have a shir achilas pras and kesevis the same? Abai responds, yeah, achilas pras provides yishuv hadas. How can we say even a chati pras, a larger amount of food, also works with the same formula of achilas pras, 4, 8, 9 minutes, whatever it is? Our response by saying, it's in the rabbanon, therefore we'll make it. Kol ha'eichon, Mishnah tells us, all types of foods can be combined to the shir kesevis, all drinks as well, for the shir malei lugma, but food and drink are not mitzarev. Amar papa, we want to have some exceptions here. Achal umtzu milcha. One says raw meat. They say salt the meat heavily, and then go ahead and eat it even raw. So if one eats an umtza, raw meat, with the milcha, with the salt on top of it. Now, salt in itself is an edible. But this fellow ate it together as one. Achal umtza u'milcha mitzdarev. It combines together to create the shir kesevis and is chayev. V'afakav lav achila, even though salt in itself is an edible, it's not called an achila, given the achla inshi, since it's typically eaten in this manner, it's tarfin, it joins together on account of the meat. We consider the salt as part of the shir, it's been tarf to kesevis. Another halacha, amar shlokish, sir shal gabi yarek, some type of brine, type of dip sitting on a vegetable, mitzad kesevis. It too can join together with that vegetable. We can combine the vegetable portion and the liquid portion to a shir kesevis, be yom kippurim, and we treat it as though we ate a kesevis of food. Pshita, of course, why would I think otherwise? Malda teima mashku, because perhaps I should treat that seer as mashka. We can't combine food and drink for yom kippur, kemash malon. Therefore, Rish Lakish tells us, here it's different. Why? It's not simply combining food and drink. The brine, the seer, is enhancing the flavor of the vegetable, kol achshuri oichla, something which comes to enhance, to enable the oichel, oichlehu, we treat it as oichel, therefore, we consider the tzir as though it's actual food, and it joins together with the vegetable, and if you have a shir kesevis combined, he's chayiv. Interesting that Magen Avraham learned from this Gemara. The same thing applies to brachos. You have Yarek, which is Adama, with some tzir on top of it. The tzir is considered part of the vegetable, in which case it's mitztarev. And if you had a kezias, a vegetable, and the brine on top of it, he makes a bracha achrayna. We don't treat the tzir like liquid, in which case the shear is ravis. Rather, we treat it like the vegetable itself. And if you had a kezias of both tzir and the yurik, he makes a bracha achrayna. Other paiskim chayyadim igris moshe disagree. This is a halacha specific for Yom Kippur, which is based on Yishev Hadas, as we keep on saying. But it's unrelated to Hilchas Brachis. Over there, food is food, drink is drink. A vegetable is solid, tzir is a liquid. Works with different guidelines. You need a revius for that. On Yom Kippur, we say, well, if you're eating it together with the vegetable, it's one joint experience, it's enabling, it's enhancing the food. That creates Yishev Hadas. The primary ingredient here is the vegetable. And since some tzir is coming to help it out, to enhance it, we treat it like the vegetable itself. It joins the vegetable in generating Yishev Hadas, in which case, if you have a shir kesevis combined, that's enough. Amar Rish Lakish, ha'oich l'achil agasim Yom Kippurim. If one eats gluttonous on Yom Kippur, he overeats, potter. It's not called eating on Yom Kippur. Why? My time. Ashalois uniksiv. Torah warns against dispelling inui. If one eats to the point that he's not experiencing inui, he's chayv. Prat lamazik. As opposed to this fellow who's harming. He's destroying the food, destroying himself. He is experiencing inui. Therefore, he's chayv. Now, how did he get to this point? If he overeats on Yom Kippur, and obviously he ate, he should be chayv on account of the first portion, says Rashi, down at the wide lines, the second wide line. Achila gasa, very simple. She'achal leil Yom Kippur. So he ate right before Yom Kippur. He filled himself to the brim. Ala soiva, she'yusove mis'uda, she'yif tzikba. And then, come Yom Kippur, he continued eating. V'chol ma she'achal mashach ha'sheicha, achila gasa is. So anything going forward is called achila gasa. He ate gluttonously. Doesn't bring anna. He's not enjoying it. And therefore, it's not called a negation of the inui. Prat lamazik. L'zeh she'enu mevatel menu shum inui. He's not being mevatel inui. Al yedei achila zu, just the opposite. Al mazikhu, es ha'eichlam es atzmei, destroying the food and himself. Therefore, he's pot. Tosis actually asks Akasha, Tosis elsewhere. We find in Gemara, Mar Nazar, if one eats a carbon pesach, when he's full, achila gasa, it's not the preferred way of doing it, but it's yaitze. Says Tosis, here we learn, achila gasa, overeating, is not considered an achila. So why is it yaitze by Pesach? Says Rabbeinu Tam at two levels. There's a basic achila gasa, he's not really interested, he's full. But he still has room for more, he'll enjoy it. That's what the Gemara Nazar is speaking about. So if he eats Pesach in that manner, it's not preferred, but he's yaitze nevertheless. It's called a masa achila. Here we're speaking about really stuffing oneself. Nafshei Kotza, he absolutely doesn't want to discuss it. He has absolutely no hana. In this case, we do not consider it achila. Rather, the Gemara calls it a mazik. Therefore, it's pot. Omer Yirmiya Omer Rishlakish. Rabbi Yirmiya quoted Rishlakish as follows. The same halacha applies to truma. Zor a non-kohen she'achal truma achila gasa. If he ate the truma in an achila gasa manner, Mishal Masakaron, he has to pay the actual value of what he ate. If he doesn't have to add the fifth. Halacha is if one eats truma b'shogeg, he pays a keren b'chemish. When it's achila gasa, it's not a proper mas achila. He pays the value, but not the chemish. Ki yoichel, Pasuk says if one eats truma, he pays keren b'chemish prat l'mazik. As opposed, this fellow who destroyed the truma, he didn't eat it, he destroyed it. There's no chemish. Just like if one burns truma, he doesn't pay chemish. Chaimish is only if he ate it instead of the coin. He didn't eat it. He destroyed it. It provided absolutely no benefit and purpose. He simply destroyed the truma. If one, who is a zar non-coin, chewed raw barley, here as well, Ve'enoi mishal misal chaymish. He pays the value, but no fifth. For the same reason. Ke'yoichal, prat lamazir. As opposed to this fellow who destroyed the truma, it's not considered halachically as a masa achila, and it's no chaymish. Omer av sheizvi omer av yechne. What about this case? Zor shebola shezifin shal truma. A non-koyin swallowed plums. He swallowed them whole. Rashi says shezifin is prunes. Prunes balas. He didn't chew them. He swallowed them whole. V'yikion. And then he spit them out intact. V'achal achar. A second fellow came along and ate them. What is that locha? Rishon mishalem karen v'chaymish. Reuven, the first fellow, pays karen and chaymish. Why, says Rashi? Because even swallowing it is considered achila. Sha'af hi derech achilasa. You might recall in the Gemara Pesachim we spoke about bala matzah yatzah. Swallowing matzah is considered a matzah achila. So the first person who swallowed those prunes is considered as having eaten them, he pays keren v'chaymish. But once he swallowed them, they're no longer considered royal achila for the second person. And therefore, the sheni who came along afterwards and ate them, sheni in mashalim elad me'etzim l'rishon mavat. So firstly, who is he responsible to? The first one, to Reuven, because once Reuven is chayv to pay keren v'chaymish, Rashi says, he was koinit, it's like it's his. He assumes responsibility for these prunes, and therefore, when Shimon comes along and eats them, he has to compensate Reuven. But how much does he have to pay? Since it's not really roi l'achila any longer, it's mos, so it doesn't really have food value to it. Rather, it could have been used as firewood. So sheni eni mishalom el tmei etzim lishim avad. He has to compensate Reuven as per its firewood value. It's interesting that some Paiskim learn from our Gemara. The fact that the Gemara has to bring a raya, that Achila Gasa is Potter Yom Kippur, really it's a general halacha. Achila Gasa throughout the whole Torah is not considered an Achila. So why does the Pasuk have to bring, the Gemara have to bring another Pasuk, Ashlai Su'una? It's not called lack of Inui, it's not really enjoying it. Say Pashat, Achila Gasa is nothing. It's nothing. So some place can bring a raya from here that all of the Gemara Pesachim says that if a person eats something shaloi kederach, he eats something in an abnormal way, he takes raw fat and eats it, all types of abnormalities throughout the whole Torah is pater because you need achila, and that's not called achila. Apparently on Yom Kippur it's different. The Torah doesn't say don't eat, and therefore even if you should eat shaloi kederach in a way that it's mevatal the inui, he would be chayiv. We're working with different guidelines. It's not the achila that's usher, it's destroying the inui. So even if it's shalai kederach achila in an abnormal manner, which is not considered achila throughout the whole Torah, perhaps in Yom Kippur, you're chayiv. And that explains our Gemara. We do need a special Gemara, a special pasuk, that achila gasa is not considered even for Yom Kippur. Of course it's not an achila, that's pashut. But perhaps in Yom Kippur, you don't need achila to be chayiv. Achila gasa as well would generate chayiv, that's the chiddush. Even here it doesn't, because it says ashaloi tu'una. Overeating in this manner, as Rashi explains, is just a mazik himself and the food. It actually adds to his inui experience. It adds to his discomfort. And for that reason only, he will be pat. Interesting discussion. Some disagree, some say no. Even on Yom Kippur, Shalei Kederach is Pater, like throughout the whole Torah. Okay, let's just briefly review today's daf. We learned about the Shir of Tumas Oichel, which is the Kebetza. It says, Oichel Asher Yochel, amount that a person can eat in one shot, which is a Beitzah's time of Goylus. If one happened to eat Chel B'zman HaZeh B'Shoigig, he should jot down the exact amount. Perhaps in his mind, he's Chayv, he ate enough, but perhaps Bezen will go ahead and increase the Shir, consider his amount below the threshold. We learned that Shi'urin of Einshin, we learned Halacha Mishim Sinai. We learned that the Shir of Shtia Yom Kippur, actually we have four Shitas, Revius, Miloy Lugmav, which the Gemara interprets to mean Kim Miloy Lugmav, that Shitas Beisilam, just a cheekful. We have another Shita, a bit less than that, and the fourth Shita, just a swallow. We have several Kashas in the Gemara. Why is it when we speak about food, it's a standard shear? And when we speak about drink, It's individualized. Rabbi says all based on Yishuv Hadas. We say that the Shir Kesevis applies to all people in the world equally. Even Oigman Chabashan, he also has some sort of Yishuv Hadas. It applies to all foods equally. Any type of food of that amount supplies Yishuv Hadas. All foods work with the Shir Achilas Pras. We discussed that Achila Gasa, Yom Kippur, is Potter. It's not called Lois Seuna. He's Mazik himself. It's something regarding Truma. If one is Mazik Truma, he ate Achila Gasa, or chewed some raw barley, etc., he pays Karen, the actual value, but no Chemish. Ki Yoichal, Prat L'Mazik. Kol Tov to you, much Hatzlacha.